welcome everyone to another episode of our CX podcast here. Paul, nice to see you. How you doing today?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. All right, so we want to get into it. We've got a good conversation talking about customer experience measurement and how do we actually measure customer experience within an organization. But before we get to that, we've got a little CX in the news, and then we'll wrap up with a timely CX tool of the week as it relates to our key topic. But Paul, you wanted to talk about Starbucks mobile payment. This has kind of become a hot topic for all of us coffee drinkers out there. And so, I wanted to let you talk about that.
Yeah, it's I think it's kind of a little bit old news, but it came through my LinkedIn's feed fairly recently, and it's all about Starbucks. It's got a great mobile payment, new technology to improve the experience, order ahead of time, be able to pick it up right away, and they've been struggling with actually fulfilling that promise. It turns out many people who actually order online come to pick it up and then have to wait longer in line. There's spikes in traffic. And I think as I was reflecting on this story, it was making me think about operations and the role of back office operations in customer experience and spiky kind of traffic that can mm-hmm. happen. It reminded me of whether it's outages, airline outages. Many of our East Coast friends hit that through the winter time. You know, weather comes and things get backed up, outages from the utilities. It made me think about the Pacquiao fight a couple of years ago, where Comcast. Had a bunch of registrations all at the end, brought down their network. You know, a whole slew of people went through other places. There is an operations, there's a spiky nature, especially with digital types of technologies, and there's an operations impact on it. And it always strikes me as how often I hear the same kind of story impacting customer experience. Again, it just makes me think that customer experience isn't always about the front end and those field people or the contact center. You know, it has as much to do with that planning, capacity planning, spike planning and operations and so forth that, can undermine the experience just as much as anything and, really actually impact their business, which is happening with Starbucks.
Well, yeah, I think that's a great point. I also think, you bring this up, and in some ways, when you intentionally design experiences, there's the law of unintended consequences. And thinking through holistically, for the mobile folks, a great opportunity for them to more efficient. But then for the folks that don't use it, because let's face it, not everyone will adopt a certain experience or a technology. It actually has impacted them because it's actually slowed down their ability to also get, their order fulfilled. So it's interesting because, it also brings that.
It makes me think, too, as you intentionally design experiences, we do here at West Monroe Partners, so important that we don't do it in our vacuum. At West Monroe, we've got our partners in the world, workforce optimization. They spend all of their time modeling out, statistically modeling, looking at pounding on how workforces are staffed and what they do. Perfect example of reaching to a place that you that don't always think about reaching. For any customer experience leader, it's about reaching those partners that deep in the organization who don't often see the light of day, and really engaging those folks in the intentional design of customer experiences.
Yeah, that's great. All right, let's talk about measuring customer experience. So I'm going to go ahead and start off by just asking the question, what do we mean by measuring customer experience, and really, why should organizations do it?
Well, it's funny. I often say within our circles, hey, if you're not measuring customer experience, you're not really doing customer experience. It's got to be measurable. And at some level, there are a lot of things that companies have in place to, quote, measure the customer experience. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's actually operational metrics, on-time delivery, first-time call resolution, how soon you answer calls. Mm-hmm. That's not really customer experience. Those may be proxies. Those are, and may relate to customer experience, but Whether a call is resolved or not is really up to the customer, not necessarily up to the individual within a corporation. So when I look at customer experience metrics, I'm really looking at what do customers perceive of their interactions with your company. Very closely aligned with how we define customer experience.
Right.
It's their perceptions of their interactions. So there are any number of metrics, Forrester's Customer Experience Index, the old school metrics like customer satisfaction, Temkin Index, Net Promoter Score, all that aim to really hone in on what does a customer perceive. And what a customer perceives and what they do may not always be the same, but you at least have to measure that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you've got things like loyalty, and loyalty can be an interesting thing too, right? Is that a customer experience metric or not? Not necessarily. A customer may hate doing business with you, but be trapped.
Yep.
So it's not a measure. Loyalty isn't always necessarily a measure. Really, we're looking at those perceptions when we talk about measuring customer experience and their behaviors, really, as well.
Excellent. So that's a little bit about the different types. Maybe we need to talk a little bit about the different levels. So, understanding your kind of transactional versus really we're trying to measure the perception. Well, when do we actually need to measure the perception? At what different levels?
Yeah, so you can measure customer perceptions at any number of levels. You can measure it at a touch point, when an individual is interacting on a website, at a contact center. And that's where many, many companies start, listening to customers is at that touch point. But that's not really reflective necessarily of what a customer's entire journey is. And so there is the notion of a customer is trying to do something and may have many touch points along their journey to getting something done. And so there are journey-based metrics. And then at the highest level, there's really the relationship. How do I feel overall? I may have multiple different journeys with the company through the course of time. And, one-off interactions or trying to get something accomplished may influence how I feel about a company, but may not be the whole picture. And so at some level, companies are looking at the overall relationship. We like to look at all three levels. We like to look at those levels and then look at them, from that perception layer.
Mm-hmm.
We like to correlate, especially journey metrics and relationship metrics, up to the financial metrics, like how are customers feeling about us at the relationship level, and how does that impact the financials, how much they spend with us. What their wallet share. And then we like to drive down into operational metrics. So what's going on in operations, and did that influence either a touch point or a journey? And then feed that back into the higher level financials. So they all kind of work independently. There's almost these two streams, though, that go together.
Right, yeah. And you brought up kind of the within the different levels and the journey level. So last week we were talking about journey maps. And journey mapping, and this idea of being able to collect some data through that. So how do we start embedding and thinking about tying measurement into some of the mapping and some of the other tools that we use?
Absolutely. When it starts with just defining what a journey is. What are customers' goals? What are they trying to do with us? At various different, either, in their life events or their stages of the life cycle. Once I define those, I can say, well, let me measure how I do in that particular journey overall. I can then get into step by step saying, hey, where do people fall off that journey? Where do they have problems into a contact center, right? I could be looking at by mapping it out, I can start asking questions. How often do customers have problems at different stages of that? And what's going on? I can put listening posts along those. I might be just looking at behavior. What are people typically doing? How often do they call a contact center? How many times do they escalate from a web tool? How many times are they starting an application process or starting something? How often do they, in an onboarding place, do they take advantage of either communications or tools or features in my software? All of those kinds of things. It starts by mapping it out, and then that starts begging the question, what do I want to know about a customer and what they're experiencing through that journey? And then I decide whether I want to look at behavioral-based data,
right,
may just be interactions, or if I want to actually ask customers, hey, what's going on? I'm noticing this behavior. Let me ask. Let me ping someone to find out what's going on, or a group of customers.
Yeah. Excellent. So we have these different layers and levels of metrics, right? And we haven't actually gone into specific names of metrics, right? But how do we start using these metrics to tie to specific business value, right? So we have these varying layers and different flavors of it. How does this all tie into ultimately, you know, CX being able to drive business value?
Yeah, so when I think about the business value, and we've talked about this in the ROI of customer experience, that, you know, there are the loyalty economics, how long does someone stay with me and so forth. There's referral economics. If you like me, you'll talk good about me. If you don't like me, you're going to talk bad about me on social media, and that influences people's spend. And then there's project economics. It starts at that relationship level. How do people feel about me? I've got people who like me and people who don't like me, and now I can feed that into, well, how much, you know, all of those those economics. So that's where that tie goes in. I think with the project economics, you're really talking much more tactical at the journey level, or, you know, could be even a touch point level. Something's going on at a touch point. I want to find out what's going on in that particular touch point and measure that. That's where you probably get more into the project economics. You know, if I fix something, people don't call into the contact center quite as often, right? So I'm within a journey. I may be looking at specific things from a contact center, what someone's calling about. So that's probably where, you know, the relationship really has to do with the referral and the loyalty economics, and then the journey and the touch point layer, really getting into fixing my operations, either, you know, increasing sales because I'm getting rid of a barrier, or improving costs because I've simplified a process, or I've, you know, taken out, escalations into a contact center, those sort of things.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so if we have all these different metrics and we start thinking about the business value, we've got to be able to consolidate this in a way that makes sense and businesses can actually then do something with it, right? So we start talking about CX measurement programs within organizations. How do businesses go about building one? And then how do they actually use it to move their business forward?
Yeah, you know, businesses measure a lot of things. And the real question that we come in often asking is, are you measuring the right things? And more importantly, are you measuring it the right way? I've seen any number of examples. I mean, over and over and over. Internally, we measure some things one way. The first-time call resolution and on-time delivery are excellent, excellent examples. We're measuring it. We're 99.9%. We're doing really great. And then you dig into it. You actually ask the customer perceptions, and it's like, no, you're about 60% on-time delivery. Or you're only, you know, it's actually taking me 50% of the customers I survey. It's taking three different calls. But we had an internal way of that first-time call resolution of measuring that, which is, I resolved my part of the customer's issue. Therefore, I resolved it the first time.
Yeah,
didn't matter that I may have passed the customer over to somewhere else. So again, we may be measuring wrong, and therefore really skewing what we're doing operationally.
Mm-hmm.
We may have a whole bunch of metrics, you know, on call waiting time, things like. There was a great story from the New York Times several years ago about. Process improvement team at an airport. One of the biggest problems they were having, or complaints, was around how long it took my bags to come out. Process improvement team came in. They found a way to cut that time in half.
Mm-hmm.
And customer complaints didn't move a dime. It did not move at all. So they just spent a whole lot of money and didn't improve the experience. Well, it turns out customers' perceptions of time vary. If you're occupied while you're waiting.
Yep.
Your perception of time is much shorter than if you're unoccupied while you're waiting. Then your perception is actually much longer than it is.
Right.
Well, it only took them a minute to get to the baggage claim, and then they were waiting seven. So most of their time was waiting, and they were unoccupied. They didn't know when their bags were going to come out. So they're, you know, even though you cut it in half, they didn't perceive that.
Right.
Turns out if you actually rerouted them through the airport, all of the complaints went away. Much simpler, right? So understanding your metrics and what you're measuring, and does it matter and does it impact customer perceptions? In that case, they spent a whole lot of money when they didn't necessarily need to.
Yeah.
I see often, you know, again, you know, companies spend a lot of time getting more efficient to do the customer experience, and customers don't care. They just want to, I don't care how long it takes, you know, my outage is, let me know how
right.
long it is, because I can do something with my time. Otherwise, I'll go get an ice cream, or I'll
go,
you know, take a phone call.
Yep.
So you can save a ton of money. And focus in on the things, you know, invest your money in things that actually matter to customers, which is ultimately the goal of all of this, which drives revenue.
Right.
You know, making those connections become the important part, because, you know, so often within companies, we see companies investing in projects and doing things that some executives got a gut level. This is the right thing because my sister likes it, or, you know, and we had the example of the Swedish Fish a couple weeks ago, investing a bunch of money. It doesn't move the dime. So, you know, it's really about, are you spending your money in the right way? And your metrics framework starts setting the stage and tying to things that customers care about in a measurable kind of way.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and I think that in terms of what we are probably going to be covering next week is really then how do we start measuring it in terms of voice of the customer, right? So being able to tie back and figure out into what's really driving, right? The measurement is the realization of what's happening, but then we got to be able to dig in and actually understand what's happening or why it's happening and then go fix it. So,
and get the data in the first place. You can't measure it without starting to listen and ask your customers what they think.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it when companies want to measure it. And, oh yeah, by the way, we actually are.
We have no way to do it.
Not actually are asking our customers what they think about it.
Yep.
And I would say it never stops at asking them. You know, it's watching what they do too.
Exactly.
You know, like, can't iterate enough. What customers say and what they do could be two different things. So,
exactly. Yeah. Going back to our research episode and understanding how we use observations to be able to do that. So
absolutely.
Cool. All right. Well, why don't we, I think that's a good introduction into how we measure it. And I know we could probably spend 4 episodes talking about all the different details of how you actually go about building it and where you can focus. But I want to kind of wrap up with thinking, okay, in terms of our tool of the week and how we can tie this together, this concept of a CX scorecard or a CX dashboard. Wanted to get your thoughts and what you've seen out there of companies kind of building one, what forms do they take, what tends to be successful about it.
Yeah. So, you know, I give kudos to some of the voice of the customer vendors. You know, they've done an increasingly good job. I mean, survey tools, you can get as simple as something like a survey gizmo or a survey monkey, right? Super sophisticated, you know, or fairly sophisticated surveying types of tools. But with the voice of the customer vendors, like Qualtrics, Medallia, Confirmit, those types, they've really built in a pretty rich layer of reporting and analytics and dashboarding where, you know, I can look across various different surveys and start creating dashboards. They're pretty good at collecting operational data. So, you know, have you sold something? Has someone interacted somewhere? You know, I've seen some clients that have, you know, any given survey may bring in 150 other variables that have nothing to do with the survey, but everything to do with your behavior and so forth, surrounding and giving context to a set of questions that I might ask. You know, that kind of stuff gets you really, really rich. I think one of the rich data, you know, you can build that on your own. I see a lot of companies starting to use, you know, using visualization tools like Tableau to bring those kinds of things to life and slice and dice in lots of different ways. You know, ultimately, I can imagine tools that we, you know, talk about all the time, personas and journeys, instantiating themselves within it. And there are some companies, Elsevier was one that, you know, literally created a dashboard of customer journeys and projects related to, you know, how I'm impacting my high level ease of doing business metric.
Yeah.
And so in a real sort of dashboardy kind of way, I could look at various different journeys, parts of the journeys, the relationship, the projects that were going on, some really sophisticated stuff that more and more the voice of the customer vendors and other vendors around are, you know, bringing this data together. You know, probably one of the hardest parts is just getting to the data. You know, I've got data in contact center, I've got data in my website, I've got data in other transactional or back office systems. How do I get that data pulled into whatever place that it is, you know, that I'm starting to look at customer sentiment, with their financial outcomes, with what's going on operationally, and starting to really tie that together. Ultimately, you want to not just talk about that and have that, but drive that into really a manage by metrics type of environment that, you know, dashboards are powerful for.
Yeah, it's being able to actually take take action, turn that data and those insights into actionable insights.
That's exactly what it's all about.
And then cyclically be able to measure the action that you took. And keep going.
Well, you know, customers change, technologies change, and so things may be going on, normally for a while, and then something happens. I release a new product, something happens in the market, a story comes. You know, how do you start using those dashboards as early warning systems, right?
Yeah.
And triggers of, hey, something's not quite right. Did we screw up? Everyone screws up. Did we mess up somewhere? Did something change? Let's go proactively, let's cut it off before it hits all of our customer base.
Right.
That becomes the power of things like the dashboarding mechanisms.
Awesome. All right, Paul. Well, thanks so much again for the great information. And thanks, everyone, for joining us this week talking about measuring customer experience. Like I mentioned, we'll probably be dipping our toe into the world of voice of the customer next week. Again, these are topics that we could go 4 or 5 episodes deep on, but we want to start at least introducing these concepts as we talk about it. So everyone, thanks for joining. Paul, have a terrific weekend. And we'll be back next week.
Weekend.
All right. Take care.